What I love is Pastor Donald posted a picture on Facebook. He says, here's the Mountaineers. It was a picture of all of them. Thank you, Brother Jordan. Amen. It was a picture of all of them. Mrs. Kidd was playing. He says, guess which one's the youngest? I guess Brother Horsch, but I guess it's wrong. Amen. But praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Amen. I tell you, nothing just... I don't know why people feel that they have to change. Now listen. There are things that need to change over time. Amen? Carpet needs to change. Amen? Praise God in the nursery, diapers need to change. Amen? That's just... But you know what? I'll tell you what. There's nothing wrong with that kind of music we just heard. Everything right about it. Beautiful harmony. Four parts. Everybody playing their part. Oh, I'll tell you. I love it. Thank you, Mountaineers. You bless my soul tonight. We've been preaching a series on Sunday nights called Truths for Troublesome Times. Our first message was entitled, Trusting God in Troublesome Times. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God can be trusted. Amen. His track record is faultless. Amen. He has not made a mistake yet. He won't start with you. Amen. God can be trusted. Then we talked about investing in God in troublesome times. Troublesome times is not a time to, if you're scaling back, to scale back your giving to God. Listen, God talks about, He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So we talked about that. And of course, every time we talk about investing, everybody just thinks money. Listen, time. We invest time. Come on now. Brother Jim, Miss Kim, go out on that route, investing time. Never go wrong doing that. Especially during troublesome times. Our third message was 2 weeks ago, and it was entitled, Your Thinking in Troublesome Times. And how many times it is our thinking that exacerbates a troublesome time. And we talked about how if we're going to think properly, there's a prohibition. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says. We're not supposed to worry. But instead, not only a prohibition, but prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. And then we talked about the praise. It says, with thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He's given you. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Then we find God's protection. When we're careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we get the peace of God. Which passeth all understanding, amen, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what's the purpose? That we would think biblically positive. You see, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, amen, and onward it goes. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I mean, a lot of people, and listen, I understand that sometimes depression is chemical. Listen, it just is, folks. Sometimes your body does not produce the chemicals. And I remember, and I've mentioned this before, but I have a good friend of mine. He's a type 1 insulin diabetic. He's been that way since he was 7 years old. You know what? His body doesn't produce insulin. And there are some people, their body doesn't produce serotonin, which is that chemical that God gives us that takes care of depression. By the way, I read a statistic that said between husband and wives that kissing produces serotonin. So, sweetie, come here. Amen. I'm feeling a little depressed today. Amen. But there are some people that don't. But I'm going to tell you what it is most times. It's stinking thinking. It's putting rotten stuff in and expecting good stuff to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. Amen. And so we talked about the purpose there to get us to think biblically. And then we talked about the proclamation. Paul said, whatsoever thing that you've seen and heard me, do them. And then, praise God, not only the peace of God, the production is this, the God of peace shall be with you. So we talked about our thinking. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about these troublesome times. All of us go through storms in life. I would venture to say that 75% of this crowd is in a storm that nobody knows about. For some of us, we know, Brother Horst, we know you're going through a storm right now with Miss Nancy. We know that. Amen, church, amen. We know that. There's others of you, Miss Nelly, you just had surgery. That's a storm, storm of pain, amen. But there's others of you, you may be sitting there with a smile on your face, but you're going through a storm. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. We're talking about troublesome times and how we go through them. Each of us are different. Can I say this, though? Pressure can produce positive results when properly harnessed. Let me say that again. Pressure can produce positive results when properly harnessed. Weightlifters, you know what they apply? Weight and pressure. Weight and pressure. That's what they want to build those muscles. Runners will apply weight and pressure. Distances, amen. I think of the illustration I heard so long ago about how difficulties, many times it's God strengthens us through difficulties. It's the illustration of a caterpillar. And this caterpillar, as the season of nature was, came out, and this little girl, Mrs. Merrill, she was just fascinated with it. She looked at it, and she came out the next day, and it began to spin a cocoon. And the next day after, the cocoon was bigger. And then the cocoon was there. She looked, and of course, her mom and dad told her, in just a few days, you'll see what happens in that cocoon. And she said, that little caterpillar is going to turn into a beautiful butterfly. And she looked, and she looked at that cocoon, and she saw it begin to crack open. And she saw that butterfly begin to struggle and work the wings. And she just had such a heart for that butterfly, Brother Kraft, that she took her little pin knife and she opened up that cocoon and she broke it apart very gently. Didn't hurt the butterfly at all. But that butterfly fell to the ground, and it couldn't fly. Because God has designed that its wings would be strengthened through the struggle. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God allows us to go through troublesome times that we would be strengthened through the struggle. And listen, I'm like you. We're made of the same stuff. I don't appreciate that illustration as much when I'm going through the storm. It's really nice afterwards, and it makes for a great sermon illustration. But when you're in a storm, it's tough. And sometimes we just want the storm to be over, and all God's people said. But don't miss what God's trying to do in you through the storm. Amen? Don't miss that. Amen? And so we're talking about thanking God in troublesome times. By the way, our context here, thinking about that, strengthened through the struggle. Paul here is on his way to Rome. This isn't like his other missionary journeys, praise God, Brother Boston, where he planted churches and strengthened them. He's heading to Caesar. And he's really heading to be martyred, as we know it, ladies and gentlemen, amen. He's going to eventually lose his head. By the way, he would be imprisoned. And while he was in prison, Pastor Donald, you know what he did? He won people to Christ. In the prison. And he had such a great reputation that they let him come and go. Because they, oh, he's a Christian. By the way, it ought to be that way at work. The boss ought to be able to trust you. Because you're a Christian. You name the name of Christ. Amen. And he would be in prison. He would win people. He would write the New Testament books of Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, Philippians, and 2 Timothy, all from prison. And eventually he'd be martyred. He'd been through many storms. You remember in Acts chapter 14, he was literally stoned to death. And I love what he did. You read Acts chapter 14. He rose right up, went right back into the city and started preaching. I love the Apostle Paul, amen. Not only that, he of course been in prison in Acts chapter 16. You remember the story how there was a great earthquake and he said to the Roman soldier, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And the man fell in trembling and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's still how a person gets saved. Amen. By believing on Jesus. Remember when the angry mob tried to tear him to pieces in Acts chapter 19? He was falsely charged in Acts chapter 21. Go over with me to, hold your place there in Acts 27, but go over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Take a right turn to Acts and you'll find Romans and then 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. At least that's the way it is in my Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look if you would at verse number 21, talking about Paul and being in troublesome times, going through storms. 2 Corinthians 11, 21 says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, when insoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. And Paul is recounting that anything that these people think they've gone through, he's gone through as well. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. That's beatings, by the way. In prisons more frequent. Often said that when Paul went to town, he looked for two things. The synagogue and the jail. Because he knew he was going to start at the synagogue and end up at the jail. Amen. Think about that. Then it says in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Roman law thought that 40 lashes with a cat of nine tails would kill a man. So they would give 39. And Paul says here, he says, five times I got 39 lashes. That's 195 lashes, folks. That's a storm. That takes a lot. Some people think that Paul's back was one giant scar. Just one big piece of scar tissue. Verse 25 says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He goes on. And tells of all the storms he's been through. And he tells us in Acts chapter 27, if you go back there with me. Acts chapter 27, we learn. Verse 14 says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. This terrible storm that Paul was about to head into. You see, he was in captivity. He was a prisoner. We learned that in chapter 25, verses 10 through 12. He had appealed to Caesar. We see his Christianity in verse number 3 of chapter 27. It says, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends. We talked about that. Paul gives caution in verses 9 and 10. He says, I don't think it's a good idea to sail. And then we see the chaos of verse 13. It said, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Ladies and gentlemen, we learn something here, and there's so many lessons in this passage. I've said I think this is one of my favorite passages to preach out of. Because there are lessons that we can see in the storms here. And I want you to notice, if you would, and we read the entire passage. We don't have time to go back and reread it all. You see that Paul's communion in verse 21, he communes with God, and then his confidence in verses 22 through 25, and his character in verses 29 through 32, and his compassion in verses 33 through 30. I want you to look at verse 33. It says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, folks, you have to understand, Paul is the one who said, Brother Lowell, he said, we ought not to go. Now, if that was most of us, I'll tell you exactly what we'd be doing. We'd be over in the corner like this. Pouting. Because they didn't take our suggestion. Amen? Paul got alone with God. And it's amazing how when you get alone with God, you have compassion for people. When you get alone with God, God will give you compassion. And I want you to notice verse 35. It's really where we get our text for tonight. It says, when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer and also took some meat. In the midst of a terrible storm, Paul took time to be thankful. This isn't easy, and all God's people said. It's easy preaching and hard living. To be thankful in the storm. Most, while they're in the storm, I'll just include myself, complain, question, or just want it to end. And God shows us some things in His Word that we should be thankful for during the storms, the trials, the troublesome times. First of all, if you would, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. Five points tonight to our message. 1 Peter chapter 4. Be thankful for the storms. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse number 12, please. It says there, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. First of all, tonight, we should be thankful for the revealing that storms provide. The revealing. Brother Jim, you know what fire does? Fire burns away all the fake stuff. And it reveals what we really are. See, when we stand before Jesus Christ and we're not going to give an account for our sins, for praise God, Jesus Christ gave an account for our sins already. But we will give account for our works when we, as it were, pour our works out before Him. They will go through the furnace of fire. And some will be wood, hay, and stubble. And you know what happens when you put wood, hay, and stubble in a fire? It burns up. But some will be gold, silver, and precious stones. You see, folks, trials many times reveal who we really are. And sometimes we don't like what we see. And all God's people said, Amen. By the way, when you squeeze an orange, you don't get apple juice. You get what's on the inside. And then my good friend R.B. Ouellette, he comes and he's going to be doing our couples seminar for us. He said this years ago and I wrote it in my Bible. He said, what you are under pressure is what you are. See, storms will have a habit of revealing things to us. Amen. Those fiery trials, they show us who we really are. If you look back in Acts chapter 27 and verses 29 through 32, you see the men here. Verse 29 says, Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as shipmen were about to flee out of the ship,
And they let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast the anchors out of the foreship. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? What do you see there in the revealing? Listen, the centurion was at his post. That's who he was. These people were saying, let's get out of here. Why? That's who they were. My wife pointed this out to me during Hurricane Katrina. Terrible time. Terrible time. People, again, folks, they said, get out, get out, get out, get out. It's a huge hurricane. People stayed. And it was an awful time. Do you know there was people during that tragedy? Anybody remember the congressman that put $90,000 in his freezer? Thinking he could get away with it because there was a hurricane. You know why he did that? Because that's who he was. Do you know there was people that were looting stores and taking flat screen TVs? Do you know why they did that? Because that's who they are. And there was people that got in their little fishing boats, Brother Ken, and they began to pick people up and rescue them. You know why they did that? Because that's who they are. The trial just revealed who they really were. See, sometimes in my life I don't like trials because they reveal to me who I really am, and I don't like the reflection I see in the mirror. But the great thing is, praise God, if you've got a good mirror like we do, our King James Bible, we don't have to change the mirror, we can change the man that we see in the mirror. Praise the Lord. So, be thankful for the revealing that storms provide. Be thankful. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be thankful not only for the revealing, but 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verses 5 and 6, please, church. Verses 5 and 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Be thankful not only for the revealing, but secondly tonight, be thankful that for the humbling that God does in trials. You know, trials don't puff us out with pride. They bring us to our knees. And they say, God, I need You so much. See, trials humble us. Again, sometimes we don't think we need humbling, and all God's people said. But as the old radio program was entitled, Father Knows Best. Amen? See, trials, storms, troublesome times have a humbling effect. They banish the pride out of us. A revealing effect, a humbling effect. I like this. Go back to Acts 27 and then we'll go to John 15. verse 18 of Acts chapter 27. It says, and we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. If you go back to John chapter 15, Gospel of John, just hang a left there at Acts and you're in the book of John. John chapter 15, in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Be thankful for the revealing that storms provide. Be thankful for the humbling that storms provide. Number three, be thankful for the purging that storms provide. Storms many times will show us what's really important and what's hindering us from God. What there are things sometimes in our lives, folks, that there's nothing sinful about. Paul calls them, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and I do, Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You see, storms will have a purging effect. It'll help us to get rid of those weights that hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. For some people, the television's a weight. They just sit in front of that TV, read their Bible 2 minutes a day, watch 9.5 hours of television a day. Amen. Listen, it can be anything. It can be the crossword puzzle. It can be, and again, they're not things that they're necessarily sinful. I'll tell you what will happen. Storms and troublesome times, it'll purge that stuff out. It'll purge that stuff out. It'll get you to focusing on what's truly important. So being thankful for the revealing, being thankful for the humbling, being thankful for the purging. Oh, I like this. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. One Bible commentator called Romans chapter 8 the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. What a great chapter. By the way, it starts and ends with no condemnation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for that. But verse 28, you know it, I know it, we've read it. I preached a message entitled, A Soft Pillow from God, here at our church twice. One of the few messages I preached twice here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Be thankful for the revealing. Be thankful for the humbling. Be thankful for the purging. Be thankful for the presenting. Say, what does that mean? What do you mean by that, Pastor? See, if we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, then trials present us with unique opportunities to glorify God in our lives. I was thinking of Brother Horsch and Miss Nancy. And all the times that Miss Nancy's been up on that seventh floor, up at Allegiance, to the point where one time I was up there and one of the nurses said to me, are you the pastor from Loomis? I said, yes, I am. She said, how's Miss Nancy Horsch? Tell her the staff said hello. Recently, Brother Bill, Miss Nancy had a new young nurse come to their home. And you know what they did? You won't believe this, but it's true. They witnessed to her, just like they always do. And this young Brother Horsch went through the plan of salvation with this young lady. And of course, on this track right here, it's got a sinner's prayer, just like the one you prayed, Linda, a couple weeks ago. And she took that home, and Brother Horsch said to her, he said, did you read that tract I gave you? She said, I did. And I prayed the prayer that was on the back. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't happen except for the storm and the trial that they're going through. They never meet that person. See, we don't see it that way so many times. We just say, why is this happening to me all the time? Why is this always... And listen, that's a natural reaction. We're all made of the same stuff, amen? We went through things last year, and I think, good gracious, why on earth? Why me? You know, why did it? But I'll tell you what, when you see it in the light of Romans 8:28, you see that God does a revealing work. He does a humbling work. He does a purging work. He does a presenting work. He gives us new and unique opportunities through storms. Here, He gave Paul just all the opportunities that He gave Paul through the storms to be a blessing. And then lastly, go back to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. thanking God in troublesome times, being thankful for the revealing that storms provide, that troublesome times provide. Thankful for the humbling work that He does. Thankful for the purging that He does in our life. Want to purge out those things that are hindering our walk with Him. The presenting that He does. And then lastly, look at verse 25 of Acts chapter 27. I'm still in Romans chapter 8. Amen. Acts chapter 27. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be thankful for the trusting that comes through storms. One of my favorite political cartoonists is a man named Scott Stantis. Scott Stantis. He just writes some incredibly thought-provoking... I don't know if he's a Christian or not. He sure writes from a Christian perspective, draws cartoons. And I remember he had drawn one after one of the hurricanes. And it had a boat, and the boat was turned upside down. And the name of the boat was Man, the Master of Its Own Fate. You know what? We're not the masters of our own fate. There's a God in heaven. And I'll tell you what, when storms come, He'll do a work of trusting, getting us to trust Him through the storms. I think about this, just 3 points under trusting, that God has entrusted this trial to you. As a youth pastor, I dealt with many children that came from broken homes. Happens. Happens to good people, by the way. Come on, church, amen. Happens to good people. And I remember I would have some young people that were dealing, and they would come to me and they would pour out their hearts and they'd say, I just don't know. And I'd say to them, I could say, in all honesty, I could say, God knows that He can trust you with this. Maybe He couldn't trust that other child with this, but He trusted you with this. Think about that, folks, when you're going through trial. God trusted you through that trial. Something else, not only this work of trusting, that God entrusted you with this difficulty, but that God uses the trial to get you to trust Him more. How many of you know that's true? Say amen. God uses a trial, and we trust Him even more. And then number three, that others may have their faith birthed or increased by your trusting during the storm. Paul says here, he says, listen, I know this is awful, but be of good cheer. I believe God. You know, I think when they made it to shore, Brother Miller, that some of those people, maybe even some of the soldiers said, I think Paul's God got us here. See, trusting God, especially in a storm, is like measles. It'll break out all over everybody. But listen, it takes work to be thankful during storms. You know why? Because it's not in our old nature to be that way. And all God's people said, we want to complain. We want to moan. We want to bemoan the situation. We want to have a pity party. A great preacher named John Bishop, who literally lost his memory and had to relearn how to talk. And for a while when he preached, Brother Leonard, you remember that, amen. For a while when he preached, I said he sounded like Tonto. Remember the old Tonto? Yes, Kimasabi. He didn't do prepositional phrases or anything like that. And if you introduced yourself to him, you'd say, hi, John, my name's Rich. He'd say, hi, Rich, me, John. That's just the way he talked. He said this about having pity parties. He said, pity party only fun when you by yourself. Isn't it a better thing when you're amongst people to say, you know what, I know this is tough, but be of good cheer. I believe God. Thanking God in troublesome times. Father, we